Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through the industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Steve Multer, corporate storyteller, speaker coach, team trainer, and market messaging strategist for some of the world's leading brands. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you so much, AJ. A pleasure to be with you and with all of your audience here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to the show. Welcome to India. And this show is going to a lot of places. And today, tomorrow, it will certainly bring a lot of value to people. And we'll be learning from you how to tell a story that gets results. And in terms of, you know, brand messaging, in terms of corporate storytelling. For the general audience, Steve, what exactly is corporate storytelling?
I always love to start there. So corporate storytelling really started 100 and change years ago. It's first credited to a North American company called John Deere that some of your listeners may have heard about, certainly in the tractor and farming business. But John Deere came up with this concept of not selling their products directly to the farmers and the people who utilize their products, but connecting with them through a publication called The Furrow. And The Furrow told stories about life within the farming community and created a connection between the day-to-day life that those farmers were living, their standard existence, and the nature of the products that John Deere was selling and what John Deere deemed to be most important. And at the time, it was known as content storytelling. And that really evolved over the last 100 and change years to become what we call today corporate storytelling. So fundamentally, what it means is combining the details of your topic or your company, your business, your product with personal experiences that your audience can relate to and understand and find value in and become passionate about themselves. And what we find is that corporate storytelling creates a much deeper and stronger connection between the corporation or the product and the target audience for that company or that product. So fundamentally, that's what a corporate story is all about.
Right. Talking of John Deere, you know, I read a few days back that they are having some other problems related with farmers when farmers, you know, are trying to get their tractors repaired and they can't do without the consent of the company because those systems have to, you know, integrated with the tractors that can only be done at an authorized place. And I don't know if you have read it, but I guess some storytelling, fresh storytelling needs to be done there because this is like going a bit beyond the general day-to-day crisis that happens, keeps on happening in corporate life. But coming back to the, you were saying something.
Oh, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, AJ, because frequently when companies bring me in to partner with them, to work with them on message strategy, it's because they have forgotten their own corporate story. They don't recall why they started the company, what problem or process they were looking to achieve or fill, what obstacle they were looking to overcome when the company itself was established. And in the case of Deere, you're going back 150, 160 years. So the people who are currently involved with the corporation may need some reminders of what their original corporate story was. And part of that corporate story was the connection and outreach to the customer. And that's beyond the sale of the product, of course. It follows through to the life cycle of the product itself. So a big part of that life cycle, especially in today's very modern and deeply technical equipment, most farmers today, they're IT strategists. These are not the farmer of 150 years ago. These people have master's degrees in electrical engineering. They understand computer systems and their farming equipment from Deere is a direct reflection of that. So maybe they need to go back and relearn how to tell their own corporate story.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't know if you have read this particular story. If not, do have a look. But what we understand from this is that at one point in time, when people used to speak good things about you, the same people, if not, were kept in good humor, and if they are your consumers or customers, they can have different views at different times, and then a different sort of a methodology has to be adopted for storytelling. Coming back to the point of storytelling itself, Steve, is that who does this storytelling? What are the methods of storytelling. How do companies engage into storytelling with what are the tools available? What are the tools available and that one can know of so that they can go for better or the best quality of storytelling for their companies, for their brands, for their firms, or whatever we may want to call them.
So personally, I believe that the story has to come from the full hierarchy of any organization, whatever it happens to be. People frequently think that the storytelling strictly comes from advertising, marketing department, sales strategic teams. I personally believe that everybody from the C-suite down to the most recently brought on board intern for the organization has to be equally adept at telling that company's brand story to the audience. And what that really means is creating what I believe are the three pillars of great corporate communication. And they are value, passion, and connection. And the more aligned we can get all of our people within our company on those three issues, value, passion, and connection, the stronger our corporate story is going to be. So very quickly, value. Most companies tend to look internally for their value. We build a phenomenal product. We create a great service, a great solution. Let us tell you about it. Well, that particular value may be the value to the bottom line of the organization in terms of their income, in terms of their percentages, in terms of their board profits. But really, the value has to be about the customer themselves. What value do we create for the people that we want to communicate and connect with? If we can create value for others, they will in turn create value for us. And everybody within the hierarchy of the corporate structure needs to understand what is our value to other people and how do we convey that value. Second is, what is the passion that we bring to what we do? And again, everyone from the newest intern to the top C-suite director has to understand, what do we care about within the company? And if what we care about is sales, then anyone in the world can smell that a mile off. If we're just about the bottom line, it means that we're pitching to a wallet instead of communicating with a fellow human being. We have to be passionate about what we do, because when we demonstrate passion for our brand, we inspire passion in others who want to be a part of that brand. And we see passion brands every day out there that really, really do create that connection with us and make us want to be a part of their corporate culture. And then number three, connection, that third pillar. Connection only comes when we tell personal human stories that other people can see and recognize. So there are a lot of different examples that I can give about how that connection story takes place, but we call this brain coupling. And it's a concept that means when we expose ourselves in an emotional way, when we talk about what really matters to us, what makes us happy, what makes us sad or disappointed, what our victories are, as well as what our failures are. When we open ourselves up emotionally, we become more human in our corporate branding, and that helps other humans to feel a direct connection with us, which builds credibility and builds trust within the marketplace. So everyone in the hierarchy should focus on value, passion, and connection to create a stronger brand that gets deeper inroads with your intended marketplace.
Right. Right, Steve. You have worked with some of the world's, you know, biggest brands: Cisco, Splunk, Fujifilm, HP, Siemens, NTT Data, Bayer, Xerox, Panasonic. 20,000 talks and broadcast presentations to connect Fortune brands to their customers, partners, and media analysts by, you know, all through corporate storytelling. How does this process begin? Is it the same thing as public relations? How is it different? Is it the same thing? And if it's the same thing, why do they need corporate storytellers to bring out that value? Why is it that they are not able to achieve the same thing through advertising or public relations? Help us, you know, get it as something like a step-by-step for a general person to understand how is it different than a lot of other things that he does.
Absolutely, Ajay. And that's a great question. And I love the differentiation that you've brought up there. I think it is vitally important. So when we talk about PR, PR is usually connected more with community outreach. How are we perceived within, again, our intended marketplace or within our corporate sector? What is the public's perspective or view of our brand and how our brand serves or does not serve the marketplace? And it's a lot about putting out fires. When we have a problem, we call in our PR department to make sure that we don't suffer any additional losses or bad press or bad media relations. This is usually where PR tends to live. When we talk corporate storytelling, this goes to the always contentious and yet vitally important relationship between sales and marketing. Salespeople don't tend to trust marketing people. Marketing people don't tend to trust salespeople. We know this. It's because even though we're all seeking the same end goal, we frequently disagree on how to get to that end goal, which means we're at cross purposes with one another. And what it usually boils down to go to your question, is expertise. So expertise is fantastic within our industry, within what we do. If we are expert at it, then we are exactly the right voices to be telling this story. You are an expert. You're hosting this podcast right now. I'm an expert on what I do. I'm a guest on your podcast right now. But here's the problem. Expertise can also blind us because it makes us think that we already know it. We understand it. We are the leaders. We've put in enough time and enough effort to be the leading voice. And what we find is a lot of corporations, they get trapped in their own expertise. Nobody has to tell me how to do it any better. I already know this. When it comes to sales, look at your sales leaders within any organization, and most likely they're saying, hey, I'm the top salesperson. What do I have to learn? What do I need to learn? I'm already leading the pack. Same thing on the marketing side or with advertising agencies. I already have all of these fantastic clients. What more do I need to know? You're coming to me because I'm the expert. A good corporate story requires us to step back and say, of course, we're very good at what we do. However, we can always be that much better. We can always tell that much better a corporate story. I usually use an analogy of an Olympic skier. So if we say in the last Winter Olympics, the person who won the gold medal in the Super G downhill won by 7/100ths of a second. That person, the best on the planet, still works with a coach. They still try to become that much better. When Michael Jordan was playing for the Chicago Bulls, I'm a Chicago guy, guess what? He still worked with a coach. When Tiger Woods was leading the world, his father was still his coach. These are people who were not necessarily better at the person who they were coaching, but they were there to help bring out the best possible story or performance from that person. And guess what? If we don't get better at telling our corporate story, then in the next Winter Olympics, the silver medalist from last time, they will win by 7/100ths of a second because you know they are out there honing and perfecting their story to be the best next time around. And you want to think about this within your own business as well. Your competition is constantly working to improve their story and their value, passion, and connection to their marketplace. And if you don't try to create a better corporate story, you are putting yourself at a disadvantage, and likely you will not make the gold medal stand the next time. You may not even make the podium altogether. So I hope that answers your question, the difference between PR and good corporate storytelling from a sales and marketing perspective.
Yeah, yes. Yes, it does. But then what is it that they lack? Let's put it that way. What is it that their system lacks and they need a corporate storyteller like you? Somebody who has so much of experience, somebody... And how do you integrate yourself into that system, which obviously has not worked good enough? That is why they need to hire an expert by you. So how do you get that entry, get that trust? Who do you work with in the system? Because obviously if sales and marketing don't see eye to eye, then how will they say corporate communications or marketing or anybody else would like to see somebody like you who has come only because they have not done things the way they should have done?
All right. So it's a fantastic question. I'm going to actually take it apart a little bit. So let's say that it's not that they've been doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. Let's say that it is somebody within the corporate structure that says, I know we can be doing even better. Or they hear their own message and maybe they hear it from an outside perspective. So for example, frequently my gateway into a large corporation like a Cisco or an HP or an NTT Data or a Heidelberg is that somebody with the global events marketing team, somebody who is not a marketer themselves for the organization or the product, somebody who's not a salesperson, but they're putting together a large communication environment for their company. And they say, you know what? The story's not good. We're getting feedback from our people here at the event that say, we don't really get it. It's not clicking with us, or it's not converting into large enough quantities of increase in sales or in target customers. And they say, I know, the problem is the way our people are talking about our product, it's too steeped in numbers and in details and metrics and KPIs and all of those things that do not create the value, passion, and connection that we are seeking when we try to connect a brand to its customer base. So a lot of times when I first enter any corporation, it's because they hire me to speak on their behalf. And that's really my foundation, is I've been a face and voice for a lot of these companies for many years. I go out and tell their stories on their behalf because of the need to create a better connection. And I'm surrounded by people who are better on the individual product details. The first thing I need to do is hook them and get them in the door, get them interested in hearing those details and feeling a connection to the product. So that's usually my first path in the door. Then once I'm inside, they start to say, can you help us to tell a better story the way you have done for us in the past? And that's usually how I get involved. But frequently the person who says we need this, it's because they look at their sales team and they realize the sales team is funneled. Perhaps they were on the building process. They were an engineer, a designer, a developer, and they helped to create this particular capability, and now they have to go out and sell it. Well, what they know is one thing. They know what this product does, how it performs, and they know how to get somebody to buy it. But that's not a corporate story. That's simply a sales channel. Marketers tend to work the same way. Marketers will frequently tell too big a picture that's a bit too broad and doesn't give any specifics to the audience. They are creating a marketing perspective. When you can bring the two together on a stronger corporate story, that's what I help companies do. But it takes somebody within the structure to say, we need to tell a better corporate story. Not because what we've been doing is bad up until now, but because we can become that much better. Create that much more connection and that much more validity and solidity to our brand and our solution.
Right, right, Steve. Then how does public speaking become a part of corporate storytelling? Ooh. And why is it that obviously they need it and then you speak on their behalf? But then one thing that comes to my mind is, why should an audience listen to you? They might listen to good things from you and learn, but why should they listen to you about some other company? Because one day you will be speaking about one company, second day you will be speaking about another company.
Right.
And they would obviously understand that there is a certain degree of professional engagement with you and another company, and that obviously comes out. So how does it build trust? And second part is that, when does the management play a role in that corporate storytelling? And again, another aspect that comes to be a part of this is that while speaking, I just forgot it. Let's concentrate on that. You know, that's the harm of thinking too many things at the same time. But I will come to that. I'm sure my mind will certainly throw it up.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you something, AJ, you just demonstrated exactly the answer to one of your questions, which is, why should somebody bring in somebody else potentially to speak on their behalf? Well, frequently, what we say is that any good conversation or any good presentation should bring up far more questions than it answers. It should spark engagement to the point where, oh, I have another question, and now I have another question, and another question. It should get people invested, engaged, and excited. People frequently think that the opposite of successful communication is bad communication. It's not. The opposite is apathy. I don't care. Not caring is the worst thing that you can get from your target audience, whether you are trying to sell something or communicate to someone. Even if they're angry at you, even if you have said something that they consider controversial or disagree with, you are still sparking a level of engagement. You're getting questions, you're getting challenged from them, and that means that they are involved in your conversation. Apathy is the worst. They sit there, they listen, and it does nothing for them. They're blank, right? So even in this case, everything that you and I talk about, for your next question, it just adds more questions to the fire. This is part of why people will sometimes bring in someone like me to speak on their behalf. What I can always do is create a connection with their audience for them in a way that simply talking about the details of the product, the metrics, the bottom line of the product, the performance, these things, pardon me, do not create connection. The reason is all of your competitors, They have their own numbers, their own metrics, their own KPIs that compete with yours. And the other competitor does the same thing as well. So if everybody is simply talking in terms of performance, and I line up three of the top brands, they are all going to have their proof that they are really the best and you should buy them. There has to be a differentiator because that leaves the consumer in the dust. How do we know which one to choose when all of the metrics say that every product is the best? There's another level of communication, and that other level is where you'll bring in somebody to speak on your behalf or not. Nobody needs to utilize my services. Frequently, when people say, why should I hire you since you don't work for my company? And I'll say, if you have somebody in your organization who is not only brilliant at what they do, phenomenal marketing, phenomenal sales, great leadership, knows the product inside and out, and they are also a brilliant communicator. First of all, as most of us know within organizations, that is a rare unicorn. Because most people who design, develop, deliver products, they have better relationships with computer screens and with laboratories than they do with fellow human beings. They're not professional communicators by nature. Most salespeople are not engineers, IT directors, developers, which means they simply come at it from a human-to-human sales strategy. What we want to do is free up people to be the best at what they do. So if you can find that unicorn within your company who knows the product so deeply and is also a phenomenal communicator, the last thing you want to do is stick them on stages across your trade show or your conferences or fly them all over the world. What you want to do is put them directly in front of your customer to shake hands and ink deals, close deals, because that's what they are best at. There's no reason to force a round peg into a square hole by saying, and we also want you to constantly present to other people or go into meetings with other people. It's a waste of their time. They're simply too good for that. So you can find experts to do certain things that fill gaps and free up your team to do what they naturally do best.
Right, right. And I
you mentioned management. I should very quickly just respond to you. You mentioned management earlier, and I think that's an important part because management frequently stays disconnected. They manage. Here's the team. Those are the people who are going out to do it. But as the manager, I just need to oversee it. No, I actually disagree. Like I said earlier, I think everyone within the hierarchy needs to understand and tell a great corporate story, which means that management has to understand the company's story well enough to be able to get that story out of every member of their team. So whether your team is three people or 40 people within the organization, you have to make sure that they are telling a strong, consistent, strategically driven corporate story that aligns with the advertising agency's story, with the C-suite story, with the executive leadership story. Because otherwise, again, you end up at cross purposes, and now there's a disconnect for the consumer between the person they're talking to, likely under that management's purview, and the executive who they never get to talk to. And as soon as there's a disconnect, we lose connection with the brand.
Right, right. And I remembered that question that I forgot. And that is the objective of corporate storytelling. And what are the CTAs? How do you decide the CTAs? So first, the objective, because many a times it can get lost also in terms of the pressures of, you know, the bottom line. And people may want to use this story about, you know, rather than about the vision, about the brand, about actually how the passion and enthusiasm that the brand is all about, it all boils down to sales. So what do you tell these companies what their corporate messaging objective should be? And how do you decide on the CTA when you are telling the story on their behalf?
It's a great question. So when it comes to your CTA, first of all, most speakers, most communicators are not great at the call to action. They're great at talking about what they know and what they want to get across, but it tends to come from an internal perspective. And of course, the bottom line, as you just said a moment ago, the eventual goal is to create more sales, to drive larger amounts of not only contracts, but customers who want to stay with the brand long-term. It comes down to emotion, ultimately. So if you can create a strong call to action, a call to action has to contain three valuable gifts for whoever you're communicating with. This is whether you are sitting one-on-one across a desk from someone, or you're talking to a room full of 4,000 people. The goals are the same. Number one, you want to make it something that's very quick and very easy for them to take their first step on. It's got to be something they can do very, very rapidly. Their first step toward a new reality, toward that eventual long-term relationship. But the way you do that is not by saying, invest with us more. It's by saying, I'm going to create value for you right here, right now, today, with one small step that you can take. Something you can get done in 30 seconds, 1 minute, 5 minutes. If you give them something equivalent to, so go download our software and learn how to use it. It's never going to happen. There's no way that person will do it. They don't have the bandwidth. They simply don't have the time in their calendar to do that for you. But what you can do for them is say, I can get you excited about this and moving toward this new relationship very rapidly. Second thing you want to do is tell them when you want them to do it. And the answer is right now. While this communication, this connection is still very fresh in your mind, and while you're still excited about what I've promised you here in our interaction, go out and take that first step right now. Don't delay. Don't put it off for 4 days or until next week or 2 weeks from now. Do it right now, because the moment you do, you're going to want to take the next little step and then the next little step. And I will be there by your side every step of the way to help you get it done. And the third is you want to make it as easy as can be. Drop it right in their laps. I always call it light up the path. Make sure that they can't get lost along the way. So if we've had a good connection communication with one another that is driving toward an eventual sale, then what I want to do is help you step by step by step by step to that sale, because we know the sales cycle usually is going to last anywhere from 6 months to 24 months. In some cases, it's a 36-month sales cycle. There are so many opportunities for your client to get lost along the way or get diverted by another competing company that says, you know what, why don't you try my path instead? That call to action has to be clear enough and easy enough, and you have to be there for them step by step, so that the CTA is not the end of your communication. It is the beginning of your new relationship. You've told your corporate story. That brings you to your call to action. And from the call to action, the story continues. And this is why it's so vital that everyone in the organization understands, accepts, and internalizes that story as their own passionate desire to bring that client in for their benefit, not for the company's benefit, but for their bottom line. If you can do that, then the story doesn't end when you're done with your presentation, or you're done with your sales meeting, or you're done with your one-on-one with the C-level. That's the beginning of the story, is the CTA. And that is what's going to help drive through to the eventual contract and hopefully keeping that client within your organization and dedicated to you as you're dedicated to them.
Right, right. Now, you say nothing gets sold until the story gets told.
Yes.
That's also the name of your latest book.
It is.
Now, how do, when you tell a story, how do you focus on this part, that you tell the story so that there is sales, as well as during the corporate storytelling, you don't miss out on the heart of the corporate brand that needs to keep beating? How do you keep that separate while you are doing the same things at the same time, corporate storytelling? How do you ensure that?
Fantastic question. Once again, really good. You're getting to great insights here, AJ. I really appreciate that. If we go back to the Latin structures of good communication, you might remember this coming up even through elementary school, but certainly high school and university, where we learned about logos, right? Pathos. We learned about these three keys: logos, pathos, ethos. Well, ethos is the ethic, right? So when we talk about what drives a brand, what is that brand's value system? What is important to your brand? What is it that makes your brand special and is at the heart, the beating heart of what it is that you do? As soon as a company forgets that, doesn't understand it, they're going to lose clients. It's going to happen. They're going to lose their edge within the industry because they no longer know what they're really all about. Underneath that ethos strategy, we have the logos and the pathos. And the logos is everything that's informationally based about our corporate story. And the pathos is everything that is human or emotionally based within our corporate story. The best corporate story is a great combination. I have a dear friend in Germany who is a phenomenal speaker, Christian Galvez, and he talks about the road to knowledge. The idea that every story we tell, that brings a potential client or customer into our ecosphere. They are taken down a road to knowledge. And when they eventually arrive at that road to knowledge, they have a new reality, which is that we need to create this partnership between me as a brand and you as a potential client. In order to go down that road, we constantly have to be working back and forth between the logos and the pathos. We can't just talk numbers, statistics, data. We can't just talk emotion, personal value, human experience. It's when we blend the two of them that we create a greater connection with our audience. So as I am working with a client, like we'll take Cisco, for example, we have to constantly focus on product capabilities, differentiations, the one Cisco edge-to-edge portfolio. That's extraordinarily important. But we also have to continually pull in why that portfolio matters. What is it really doing for people on the ground on a day-to-day basis that's improving their reality, that is making their world stronger, that's making their work life better, that's getting them over those hurdles that they face every single day within the workplace. When we can combine that personal victory of getting somebody to a better place within their workplace environment with our capabilities and the phenomenal details, that connection, that combination of logos and pathos is what creates the best corporate story. And that is what I work with these brands to achieve. Because frequently, we get caught up in the statistics. We're all about how something is built and what that something does, and we tend to forget our why. Why does anyone give a damn? Why do we care about this product? So we built something great, fine. But why does it matter? Why does it change lives for the better? And that has to be a part of your corporate story. And if not, all you're doing is selling statistics. And statistics do not capture people's hearts, minds, or attention.
Right, right. We live in a very different world, different sort of a world, difficult sort of a world. And with time, different sort of CEOs, you know, leaders take over companies. They lead their own way. Yeah. And they try to set their own narratives. How is storytelling, corporate storytelling, different than that narrative? Because when narratives come in, then comes, you know, lines. Brainwashing, yeah. Greenwashing, evergreening, giving a spin, gaslighting, all these terms come into it.
Yes.
And even they don't talk about it publicly, the public understands what's happening with the product, with the brand, and whether they are their heart is beating or it's not. Mm-hmm. How do you look at this new development, especially, you know, with vis-a-vis, you know, new narratives being set up by some people, some corporates, vis-a-vis corporate storytelling?
So I tell an interesting story in the book. Since we were talking Cisco a moment ago, let me go back to that story because your question really sparked that for me. So Chuck Robbins, the chairman and CEO of Cisco. So Robbins is overseeing a company of roughly 80,000 people global, with a valuation of well over $500 billion. This is an extraordinary quantity of power on Robbins' shoulders. Chuck Robbins processes information exactly the same way that AJ does, that Steve does, that everybody who is here listening to and watching your program does. We all have a hierarchy of information processing. A good corporate story recognizes that hierarchy. The hierarchy goes like this. First, we process as humans. Any bit of information, stimuli, data that comes in from the outside and that hits us, one of the 10 pieces of stimuli, 10,000 pieces that we deal with on a daily basis, it arrives and we make a snap determination of value. Is this a high value, medium value, low value, or no value bit of stimulus that's just walked in the door? And our first assessment of that stimulus is on a human level. Our second level of processing is we process as a consumer. Until we make the connection as a human first, again, our value system, our belief system, and we determine that this is a high value piece of stimuli or information, it will never make it to our consumer level until we first let it pass through our human level as being important enough to consider. The third level of the hierarchy is as an employee. Whatever we do within our work environment, that is the final level, but it's where most marketers and most executives speak to. They go directly to the workplace. to our jobs as employees, and they try to communicate with us there, and they skip the first two levels of hierarchy. A good C-suite, somebody who's in an executive leadership position, is going to recognize that we as a brand have been spending so much time trying to market directly to the buyer as an employee. What is your job? What does your company do? And we've skipped over the human level and the consumer level and gone directly to the bottom of the rung. And it doesn't really work that way. It needs to be flipped upside down. So whether it's Chuck Robbins or you or me, we are all going to process that information in the same way. First, is it important enough to us as a person to give it more merit, to give it our additional levels of energy and consideration? If so, now is it important to us as a consumer? Not as a consumer for our company, but as a personal consumer. You have to go out and buy eggs every single week at the grocery store, or you have to go and buy a certain vehicle that you're going to drive, or you have to go and buy a certain piece of clothing, and you make consumer decisions based on your value and belief systems as a person first. If you do or don't like a company, if you do or do not like the price because you feel it's correct or it's invalid, if you do or do not see value in that particular product, that will determine whether you do or don't buy it. By the time it reaches us as employees on the work level, we've already processed those first two levels within the hierarchy. Good leaders recognize how to speak to the human first and not to the workplace first. So does that answer your question?
It does. It does. And you have not only answered this particular question, it can be quite difficult to answer such questions because it's actually, you know, open-ended. Everybody will have their own views. But you have certainly made things very clear, not only on this question, but the overall topic itself. And be that as it may, there is so much still to learn. So how do people connect with you, learn more from you? How do brands engage with you so that they get the best in the trade? And second thing is about how do people get hold of your book? Nothing gets sold until the story gets told. What's the best way to get their book, this book into their hands?
Well, I so appreciate that, AJ, and the extra level of promotion that we do for one another. It's always so important. I am extremely easy to find because my brand is called Steve Multer Corporate Storytelling. If you look up Steve Multer, M-U-L-T-E-R, you will have no trouble discovering how to get in touch with me. With regards to the book, on all of the retail outlets, certainly Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads, wherever it is that you happen to go to get your books, it's available in hardcover, in paperback, it's available in audiobook read by me. My apologies right now. And also it's available in ebook. So all of the formats available right now, it was just released last month. So it is brand new. And I will let your viewing audience know something that I have available for anybody who is interested. I have created a free e-guide, an electronic guide. It's a PDF, very, very simple, called 5 Paths to Passionate Storytelling. And anybody can go and download this right now. It is 5 ways that you can immediately begin to tell a better corporate story, regardless of your job title, your location, the brand that you work for, your socioeconomic status, education level, doesn't matter. Anybody can put these 5 tips, these 5 paths to passionate storytelling into view. The way you're going to go there is corporatestorytelling.com/guide, corporatestorytelling.com/guide, and then enter the code SOLDTOLD23. Put that in, you'll be able to download that 5 Paths to Passionate Storytelling e-guide right now. Everybody can do it. So go make that happen.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'll also include the details in the YouTube description so that they find it easy to reach to you. My last question to you, Steve, is that you have been into storytelling, you know, with the when you accidentally transition into this corporate theater, presenting then brands and your own strategic brand messaging agency, Steve Multer Corporate Storytelling.
Yeah.
And now today you are in a position like this where you tell stories about brands, about everybody else. You are a speaker coach, you train people, you keep on driving the messages for the brands that you represent. How do you keep your own story alive amidst this whole thing? And what is your own story that you want to tell? How do you keep it? I mean, all these wonderful and big brands that can, you know, your own story can get lost in. How do you do that?
That is maybe the best question I have been asked in years. So bravo to you for even bringing that up. I'm going to be very honest with you. Lately, I feel like I've been doing a terrible job telling my own story. And this happens. Everything rolls in cycles, right? Sometimes we're really on our game and sometimes we tend to drift away from our game a little bit. I've been so busy and running so constantly that I have in some ways lost my own thread of my story of late. And a lot of it, I'll be honest with you, had to do with the book. Every time you release a new book, as any of your audience or you know, it's like birthing a new child. And all of a sudden you have to be a parent to that child and it's very easy to lose yourself throughout that process. What I always do is I'll use a Godfather reference. I go to the mattresses. I remind myself why I got into this industry in the first place. And the reason I did was I wanted to help people be more confident in their own communication, to feel stronger about the story they have to tell and be willing to go out and tell it. Because frequently we are stifled in our own storytelling with a very interesting, it's a concept really more than anything else. It's called FNE, fear of negative evaluation. And we all live within a concept of FNE, which is this idea that I don't really want to go out and speak in public because I'm worried about the perception others will have of me, that they will think that I'm not worthy of speaking to them, that I will say something wrong, or that I will not be as effective in my communication as I hope to be. My goal has always been to help people get past that and realize that everybody has a great story to tell, but that starts with me telling my own story. And what I find is of all the things that I do for a living, the thing that brings me the most passion right now is the coaching. When I work one-on-one with somebody, especially somebody who is very hesitant and resistant, who has been forced to speak, or who thought they wanted to give a presentation or be in a sales leadership role and then realizes, wait a minute, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. If I can help bring out the best in them and make them more confident, that does the same thing for me in return. And that's really, I think, how I keep the thread of my own storytelling in check, is the more time I spend speaking for others, the more I like to help others excel in their own storytelling, because that returns me to my foundational story. So that's very personal, and I hope that I hope that's a satisfying place to leave things.
Absolutely, absolutely. On this satisfying note, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, AJ.